produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, I am Pastor George Emeka of South Africa, and the first assistant to our CEO and founder, Caleb Padgett. And you are listening to Victorious in Christ radio program with Dr. Ronald E. Rolfe Ministries.
We're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And our text will come from the Epistle of Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. That is Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. Let's go into this word and let's talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Well, the Bible records in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So again, tonight we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Well, what is fruit? Fruit is anything that produced or accruing product. Anything that produces something or brings about something can be considered fruit. So when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, I want to share something very amazing with you about the fruit of the Spirit. And that is, not every believer has all the spiritual gifts, but every believer should have all the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to talk more about that on the night, so you have an understanding of those fruit that we mentioned in the scripture. Every believer should have all the fruit of the Spirit. If you don't, I want to challenge you to mature more in the Lord and to seek the Lord more, because you need the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Well, every fruit has a seed to produce more fruit. If it does not have a seed, it is not fruit. Even in the natural, we learn that in the natural, fruit have seeds. And I'm going to show you scripture, how that comes even out of the scripture. Fruit has seed, and the purpose of that seed is to produce more fruit. So if a fruit that we call fruit does not have a seed, guess what? It was man-made. Even when you go to the store, to the grocery store, or to the market, and you buy fruit that does not have a seed, that fruit was man-made. But if it's of God, if it's of the natural, it has a seed. Well, is that Bible? Well, let's look at what the Bible says. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, look at what it says about fruit having seed. It says, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. Oh, go back again. In the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. So God so designed it that fruit has a seed. And it shall be meat. In other words, God is saying, even in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, in paradise, he said when he made fruit, that fruit would have a seed. So we're going to, again, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Well, the fruit of the Spirit is nine of them that are listed in scripture, is spoken of in singular, signifying the oneness of the fruit. We name nine of them, but they're known as the fruit of the Spirit and not fruits of the Spirit. Just one fruit. So when you have one, you should have all. If you don't have all, you need to seek God the more. The Christian is not complete until they manifest all nine graces. And we're going to go through those tonight. I want you to understand what they are and how they impact our life and how we talk about the fruit of the Spirit and how this fruit of the Spirit, you need to have the fruit of this. Oh, I'm excited about it now. You need to have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. It has been my experience in God. When I talk about the Word of God, when I share the Word of God, I just get excited about how awesome God is and what the Word of God does for us in our lives. Well, the first one we mentioned was love. This is divine love, an attribute of God, an attribute of indwelling God. And there are different types of love, and I'm not going to get into all of that tonight about eros, about philia, about agape, about, you know, the different types of love. But the Bible here is talking about divine love. So the fruit of love, the fruit of love is an attribute of the indwelling God. So when you have God in your life, you should have the fruit of love. And what is that? It is found in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And it says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So when you are in God, when you are saved, when you are born again believer, you have the fruit of the Spirit, you should have love in your heart, and that divine love. Not loving somebody, but love them in spite of, because of, well, whatever they do for you, then that becomes just a one-way love. But no, think about how God loved us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible even talks about how that God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when we have the fruit of the Spirit, you got to have love. You got to have that love. Love conquers all. Yes, it does. Love conquers hate. Love conquers racism. Love conquers prejudice. Love conquers fear. Love conquers so many of the problems that we face in life. If we just have love, if we just have more love in our hearts, more love in our lives, if we extend love to each other, and not just to each other in the church, but outside the four walls of the church, and become a church without walls, that we love the world because God so loved the world. And not only that, that we love each other enough to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And that is the gospel, that God saves through his son, Jesus Christ. Well, the next fruit we're going to talk about is joy. Now, joy, not the so-called happiness of the world, but deep, deep gladness. That's what joy is. Remember a moment ago, I said I was getting excited about the word of God. That's the joy God wants us to have. It is not that everything is going right in our life. It is not that everything is going right in our family. It is not that everything is going right in the world, but yet we have joy. Oh my God. I remember the song saying, this joy I have, the world didn't give it and the world cannot take it away. My joy is not contingent upon what's going on around me, but my joy is contingent upon what's on the inside of me. Well, what is in the inside of me? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, or woman, he is a new creature. She is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Well, what is this joy? We'll find it in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's what joy allows you to do. Even when you come into the house of God, you cannot sit there stagnant. You cannot sit there stoic. But when you get excited about God and you're ready to celebrate God for who he is. And I taught about this on Sunday when the Bible says to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, be thankful unto him and bless his name. That is the joy that God wants us to have. Now, yes, we're realistic. Yes, we understand that as believers, we have circumstances in our lives. We have events in our lives when things will come to impact us emotionally. But when we go through that, still, the Bible wants us to have joy and rejoice in the Lord always. Regardless of what's going on in your life, give God praise, give God joy, and thank God for the joy that you have. And again, I say rejoice. Well, the next gift that we want to talk about, I mean, not gift, but the next fruit of the Spirit, and it's all one fruit now, but the next we want to talk about is peace. Oh my God, peace. This is the peace of God that satisfies the soul completely. I want to share this with you. There have been times turmoil has been in my life, but because of the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will allow me to become in that matter. And perhaps you have experienced that some things have gone awry in your life. Some things have gone contrary in your life. And yes, you're being realistic. Yes, you're concerned about it. But yes, that inner peace that you have. Oh, my God. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? To have that inner peace, that's a good hallelujah right there. To say, thank God for my inner peace that I have. Although the storm may be raging in my life, yet I can have the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding. I can have that peace knowing that God is on my side and that God is with me. Well, where are we coming from with that? We're coming from Galatians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So when you have all of this going on in your life, you can have the peace of God in your life. People are going crazy and people don't know what to do and people are pushing the panic button. But you, child of God, because you have the fruit of the Spirit and because you have peace and you know that God the Father is still in control and Jesus Christ is your help and he's a present help in the time of trouble, you can have peace. Well, the next one we want to talk about is long suffering. Well, what is long suffering? It's patience. It's endurance. It's the ability to be calm. The natural man is impatient, but saints are the opposite. Yes, saints, we have the ability to have long suffering and have that patience. And it's not us on our own. It is the Holy Spirit operating through us. I've taught on that. The Holy Spirit has a ministry. Yes, he does. Not only is he a gift, not only is he the third person of the body of the Godhead, but also the Holy Spirit has a ministry. And part of that ministry is the extension of Jesus Christ. So you yet have Jesus Christ in you through the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about that, how we are sealed with the oil of gladness and how we have the Holy Spirit down in us, because greater is he that is in us than he that is within the world. So that long suffering, when the world doesn't know what to do, when they're having trials and tribulations. Now, being in Jesus Christ does not exclude you from trials and tribulations. Being in Jesus Christ does not exclude you from sickness. Being in Jesus Christ does not exclude you from problems in this life. But what it does do, it gives you the victory, because the Bible says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Oh, my child of God, you should have felt that all down in your shundo. Yes, you should have. Because of Jesus Christ being in our lives, because of Jesus Christ being alive in us, through his Holy Spirit, we can deal with the problems in this life. And how are we able to do that? In Luke chapter 21, verse 19, in your patience, possess ye your souls. There's an old saying, an old cliche, have the patience of Job. But there were others. There were other people of faith who had patience in God. Remember Abraham, how he waited patiently on the Lord? Remember Abraham waited 25 years for God to fulfill that promise in his life. Remember Noah, when he built the ark, and how long it took him to build that ark, and it was years, and only a few souls got saved, but yet he had patience in the Lord. Even Daniel asked God about the things that would happen, and God showed Daniel the weeks, the 72 weeks of Daniel, and how Daniel had patience in God. Remember Habakkuk, when Habakkuk asked God, how long would thou allow this to happen? And God told him, though the vision, though it tarry, wait for it. For when it comes, it will not tarry. It will surely come. And he said, when it comes, what I want you to do is to write the vision, write it on tablets, make it plain. So he that read it can take it and run with it. So there are others that had patience. And the Bible reminds us of countless individuals that had patience in God. So yes, in your patience, possess ye your souls. The next thing is gentleness. Some of this fruit, some things we talk about, people say, man, you have to have the spirit to have this gentleness. It is kindness or graciousness. Jesus was known by his graciousness. The Bible talks about how he was moved with compassion, and gentleness is part of who we are. It is not a sign that we are inferior. It is not a sign that we are complacent. It is not a sign that we are timid. Remember now, we are soldiers. We are soldiers in the army of the Lord. And even Paul reminds us of that, about putting on the whole armor of God. Yes, you can put on the whole armor of God and yet have gentleness in your life. That's how amazing the Holy Spirit is. That's how awesome he is. How we can be so anointed, how we can be so powerful in God, but yet we can possess this gentleness from God. We can possess this kindness from God. We can possess this graciousness from God. And it's all because of God's Holy Spirit. Remember the disciples before Pentecost, how they were flying off at the handle and how they would do things that spontaneous. Remember how at one time James and John wanted Jesus to rain down fire on this village of Samaria because they would not allow Jesus to pass through that city, and how they became angry and they told Jesus, Master, rain down fire on these people. And Jesus had to rebuke them and told them, you don't know what manner of spirit you have. Why? Because they had not been filled with heaven's precious gift. Remember Peter, when Jesus was being arrested, and how Peter took off the sword and cut off the man's ear. Why? Because he did not have gentleness. He didn't have kindness. Remember when Jesus was now being taken from judgment hall, the judgment hall, and how Peter denied him. But now after Pentecost, all of these disciples, all of these followers, even the additional ones, the 120 in that upper room, how they now have been endued with that power from on high. Not only the gift of the Holy Spirit, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So when you have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life, you are stronger than you realize. The Bible says, let the weak say that I am strong. When you realize who you are in God, you are stronger than you realize. Yes, you are, because you have all the power of the Almighty, Elohim, El Shaddai, Jehovah, Jireh, Abba. You have all the power of a God of the universe at your disposal. No, God is not our valet. No, God is not our butler. No, God is not our servant. But God shares who he is with us, and he dwells within us. So yes, gentleness as a fruit of the Spirit. And we'll find that in chapter 10, verse 16. It says again, Matthew 10 and 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and as harmless as doves. And you know what a serpent would do. A serpent has the power to fight back. A serpent has the power to bite and to have venomous poison to do that. But yet God is saying, be wise as a serpent, but yet harmless as a dove. A dove is a bird of love. Even people, when they get married, sometimes they have doves, even in their marriage ceremony. Even when Noah, when he wanted to come out of the ark, he sent forth a raven first, and the raven didn't come back. But then he sent forth a dove. And the dove, then he sent forth it again, and it came back with a twig in his mouth. And he knew that the land was dry. So now God is saying for us to be wise as serpents and harmless as dove. Well, the next thing is goodness. What is this about goodness? All mine. Goodness is benevolence. Yes, it's not just having a good spirit. It's not just being happy-go-lucky, but goodness is benevolence. It is this virtue makes the Christian full of good works. And I'm going to read that in just a moment. In 1 John 3:17, goodness, that's a fruit of the Spirit. Goodness, benevolence. Well, where does that come from? 1 John 3:17, but whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? How can you say you're a child of God and you don't have goodness in your heart to help your fellow mankind? And I'm not just talking about somebody you know. It can be a stranger. Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, how he was on the Jericho road and saw this man had been left wounded and for dead, and yet he stopped to help him. But the religious people wouldn't help him. The priest wouldn't help him. The Levite wouldn't help him, I guess because they feared what would happen to them. But when you have the fruit of the Spirit, when you have goodness in your heart, you don't mind helping people and you don't help them to broadcast it. You don't give them something just because you don't want it. You give them something because of the fruit of the Spirit. And not only that, even in your stewardship is involved in your goodness, in your benevolence. You know, it's just right to give. It is just right to help. Let me share this with you. Saints are not stingy people. Oh my God. Saints are not stingy people. Saints are not unwilling to give. So when you find yourself not willing to give, not willing to show benevolence, not willing to show goodness, you need to go back and say, Lord, I need the fruit of the Spirit the more in my life. I need that goodness in my life. Well, the next one is faith. Now, it's something about faith as a fruit of the Spirit, because faith also is a gift of the Spirit. Oh my God, isn't that awesome? So we have a fruit that's also a gift. And I taught on that, how some people have the gift of faith. Yes, the Bible says to every man, he's given a measure of faith. And yes, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So yes, faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit, but also faith is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Faithfulness, dependable, and can be relied on at all times. Saints are faithful people. We are faithful to God. We are faithful to the ministry. We are faithful to our church. We are faithful to the work of Christ, because it is not only a gift of the Holy Spirit, but it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So when you find yourself being faithless, when you find yourself not operating in the faith as we should and being faithful, you need to say, Lord, I need more of the gift of faith and more of the fruit of faith in my life. Remember what God reminds us in his word in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, and the B clause. He says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Be thou faithful unto, not until. Unto means beyond. Even when I get beyond death, regardless of what's going on in my life, God is saying, be faithful. So faith is a fruit of the Spirit. And here's one that gets a lot of people in trouble: meekness. Oh my God. Because people think because you're meek, they think you're slow, they think you're timid, they think they can just, let me use a street vernacular, a colloquialism. They think they can just run a game on you because you're meek. No, you're wise. You're a child of God. You have wisdom. You have gifts in you. You have the fruit of the Spirit in you. So meekness is mildness of temper. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control. Don't forget that, child of God. Meekness is strength under control. Jesus Christ was meek. Moses was meek. Moses, God used to open up the Red Sea. That doesn't sound like weakness. Jesus Christ was meek. God used him to open blinded eyes, to raise the dead, to feed the hungry, cause the lame to walk, cause the deaf to talk, and cause the dumb to hear. That is not weakness. That is strength under control, mildness of temper, humble, particular, true of us. We should be meek as well. But again, don't you dare have anybody or the devil thinking because you are meek, you are weak. So we reference 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. It says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preadventure would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So even in meekness, we preach and teach the word of God, not in arrogance, not in boasting, not being boastful, not being brazen, not having an attitude, even in meekness and in love. The Bible even says, in loving kindness have I drawn thee. That is a meek spirit. So meekness is being like Christ. And when we have the fruit of the Spirit, meekness, we are being like Jesus Christ. And then the last part of the fruit of the Spirit, temperance, self-control. Come on, self-control, child of God. We shouldn't always just fly off at the handle. And I've seen some people, the least little thing, they're ready to just go off. Or they're ready to just give somebody, as we say, a piece of their mind. You better keep that peace of mind because that may be the only peace you have. So, and when I said peace, I mean P-I-E-C-E, not P-E-A-C-E. Well, it may be your only peace as well, too. But have that temperance, have that self-control. And as we become seasoned in the Lord, we should have self-control. We shouldn't just fly off at the handle. I remember this analogy. Growing up as a babe in Christ, that my pastor, the late Bishop G. Patterson, he would teach us, and I'm going to share with you. When you have temperance as a child of God, learn to be a thermostat and not a thermometer. And I'm going to explain the difference. Learn to be a thermostat and not a thermometer. What does a thermometer do? It registers the temperature. So when it gets hot, the thermometer gets hot. When it gets cold, the thermometer gets cold. So what does the thermostat do? It controls its environment. Regardless of what the environment is, the thermostat has the ability to control the environment. So as a child of God, the fruit of the Spirit, temperance, self-control. Don't allow the devil to be able to just push your button, the least little thing. You really to go off and do this and do that, no, and act out of character. Then you got to go back and say, oh, Lord, please forgive me. That wasn't me. The devil made me do it. No. Your lack of control, your lack of temperance made you do it. We blame everything on the devil, and the devil's sitting back like, I didn't do it. You did it on your own. You allowed it to happen. And the Bible is saying when we have the fruit of the Spirit, we have this temperance. We have this self-control, moderate in appetite, dress, habit, and fashion. So temperance is not only about our temper and our attitude, it's in all phases of our life. Even in our appetite, we should be some of the most disciplined people when it comes to how we eat. I shared this on social media, how I changed my eating habits. Yes, over the years, we develop eating habits. Bad eating habits, because food can be a drug. And I don't mind sharing this with you. I decided to give up certain foods because I didn't like my weight. And I decided I'm going to do something about it. And yes, I did something about it, and my weight has started to come down, and I'm still working on it. I'm going to do some other things because personally, I just didn't like it. So I had to exercise that temperance, that self-control. Child of God, you have self-control. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Do you know how powerful that is? All you got to do is speak it and say it into existence and say, I won't do this. I won't do that. Whatever it is, if it is not blessing you and helping you, you have the temperance, or you should have the temperance, to not be able to do it. When it comes to your appetite, the way we dress, our habits, our fashion, whatever it is. But let's look at it. Let's go to First Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. And it says, and actually it's First Corinthians chapter 8, verses 9 through 13. So I'm going to read verse 9. It says, but take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. In other words, there are a lot of things we can do, but because of temperance and because it may lead someone astray, we don't do them. There are a lot of things we can do in Jesus Christ, but we don't do it because the Bible says we are living epistles read of all men. An epistle is a letter written by the apostles. And you know the old saying, you're the only Bible that some people will read. So yes, have that temperance. And then verse 10, for if any man see thee which has knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? We're going to talk more about that. And then verse 11 says, and through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. In other words, someone might not understand what you're doing, and they do it, and now they fall into sin. They don't understand you have the liberty to do it, but you don't do it because you don't want to lead them astray. And I'm not saying live your life in a bubble and live your life worried about other individuals, but still have that temperance, have that moderation in your life. And then verse 12 says, but when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. In other words, when I do it and it bothers that brother's conscience or sister's conscience and they go astray from Christ, then I'm at fault. I should be willing enough to have self-control to where I won't lead them astray. And then verse 13, wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. In other words, the Bible's saying, now the Bible's saying that you cannot eat meat. But what the Bible is saying, let's look at it in just an everyday example. If I'm doing something and somebody thinks, well, how can they be doing that? And they're supposed to be saved, and it offends them. And they say, well, it must not mean nothing to salvation. Then I really shouldn't do that. I really shouldn't do it if it's going to make somebody go against Christ and not live saved. If anything, do it in private and do it where someone that's not really seasoned in the Lord that wouldn't understand. That's what the Bible is saying about that. All right. So also, when we think about the fruit of the Spirit, I want to read some other scriptures, and I don't have all of them on the screen, but John 15, starting with verse 1-8, the Bible reminds us, it said, Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Remember I said how fruit has a seed, and the reason for that seed is to produce more fruit. The Bible says when you have the fruit of the Spirit, you should bring forth more fruit. And what is that more fruit? Other believers in Jesus Christ. Verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That's how we become cleansed through the word. In other words, sanctification. Sanctification is not about how we dress. It's not about our style of worship. It is about our lifestyle. It is about how we live for God, how we live for Jesus Christ. And we're cleansed through the word. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. And the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. Jesus saying you really can't bear fruit unless you're in him. So if you find someone that is not bearing fruit, they are not truly in the Lord as they should be. I'm not saying they're not saved. They're just not in the Lord as they should be. Verse 5, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So it is because of the power and strength of the Lord in us, we can do the things that we do. Remember what Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Verse 6, if a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. He's talking about judgment. So if you're not bringing forth fruit and living for the Lord, ultimately it will lead to your destruction. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So when you have fruit in your life, you abide in the Lord. Yes, he will give you the desires of your heart. Well, verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. So when we bear fruit, it is an example. It is proof that we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way of looking at it. There's no way of presenting it. When we bear fruit, we are showing that we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another scriptures that I want to share with you, Matthew chapter 12, verse 23. I'm just going to read that to you. It says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Oh my God, the tree is known by its fruit. I have never had to go up to a fruit tree and ask what type of tree it was. I automatically knew by the fruit that was growing on that tree. Well, Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 through 20, it says, you know them by their fruit. Oh my God, you know them. You know other disciples, you know other believers by their fruit. And you also, you know them because of the lack of fruit, but you know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? So even good tree bringeth forth, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So if it's bringing forth evil fruit, you mean you can have evil fruit? Yes, you can. You can have evil fruit just like you can have good fruit. Verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewed down. In other words, it's cut down and cast into the fire. And finally, verse 20 of Matthew 7, it says, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. I remember as a little boy growing up, and I'm finishing. As a little boy growing up, I grew up around a lot of fruit trees in our yard. It was just that's the way it was. We had plum trees, we had fig trees, we had pear trees, we had peach trees. But every time it was time for that tree to bear fruit, I knew which tree was what, because I could tell by the fruit that was on that tree. I'm still talking about the fruit of the Spirit. What type of fruit are you bearing? Are you bearing good fruit? Are you bearing evil fruit? I challenge you. I submit to you to submit yourself to God and let Him allow the fruit that He desires to be manifested in your life.
So good.
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.